And we are live on Blog Talk Radio for everybody's greatest, favorite, bestest podcast show in the world. We are Sports Club, and tonight, of course, we are the double episode again, Sports Club Board Check. This entitled Back to the Future / Charizard. Those who have listened to me before may know where I'm going with one. You might know where the other one's going. It doesn't have anything to do with the past. Well, it does have a lot to do with the past, but not the past of this show. Of course, I am Jeremy the Impact York. Cody is at the A's game. Go A's. And Reggie and Coach are out on assignment. It is draft time. These guys are busy. Of course, I'm busy, but somebody has to run the ship, right? Somebody has to steer the ship. That's me. For all those that are wondering, I know a lot of you guys always ask, we have New Japan Pro Wrestling on the television here. Just watched a fantastic match between Will Ospreay and Kota Ibushi. Yeah, if you haven't seen that one, Jesus, it was from Wrestle Kingdom, I think. My goodness. There's a reason why those two guys win a lot of belts and a lot of awards. But I don't have time to get into wrestling tonight. Not a whole lot. Because we got football. We've got baseball started today. That's why Cody's at the A's game. We've got, we got NHL. We've got ECHL. We're, you know, Gladiators, Hurricanes. We're going to throw some Falcons in there. There's some NFL news. We're going to talk a lot of AAF because, hey, over the weekend went to another game. Have tickets for the game next weekend. Will I go next weekend? Well, that may not necessarily be up to me, and we will get into that. But as always, if you want to get in touch with the show, 347-826-7448 will get you on. We may have time for some questions. I don't know if we do necessarily or not, but tons we want to get into. And always, you can hit us up on all the social media aspects at Team Impact Media on Twitter, Instagram, The Impact 99, and, you know, we're on Facebook. Just look us up. Back, let me make sure that but lots going on. Lots going on. Like what, you may say? Well, a lot of NFL news. And I want to start with the NFL news because, yeah, I got to warm up to the rest of it. NFL news. Gronk announced his retirement. He wasn't the only one. He was just the most famous, I guess. And we'll get to Gronk in a second. Jeremy Maclin also hanging it up. He had like a 10-year run. Had a pretty good run. Jeremy Maclin, good receiver. I just think, you know, when the body doesn't respond the way you want it to. And speaking of which, Malcolm Mitchell of UGA fame, Malcolm Mitchell is hanging him up as well. You know, the thing about Malcolm Mitchell is a lot of people don't know he was a child author all the way back to 2015. He's been writing children's books on the side anyway. And so he's got the income and the other stuff coming on as well, as well as Super Bowl champ, UGA alum, which means he's not probably buying his, let alone a drink, probably not buying his dinner in the greater Athens area. But Super Bowl champ in New England, had some of the bigger catches. Malcolm Mitchell, a short but pretty good run. I mean, door's still open. He could come back if he wanted to. Jeremy Maclin, a little bit better run. But Rob Gronkowski, fantastic run. Sure, he was up and down with injuries and other things such as that. Gronk retiring has brought up a lot of questions, like the debate for greatest tight end ever. A lot of people say Tony Gonzalez. A lot of other people you can throw in there. You know, Gronk could do it all. He was a great pass blocker. He was a downfield threat, route runner, had great hands. was a fun character. As far as best ever, I'm not getting that debate. I could make an argument for the Tony Gonzalez's and the Antonio Gates of the world, even Gronkowski's. I mean, you could make your – I mean, just pick your favorite. Ozzie Newsome. Wasn't he one? Man, I guess I'm lying. I think it's him. A lot of people that you could easily say. Zonka, didn't he play some? Oh, all kinds of people I could say. I'm not here to debate the best tight end of all time because what does it matter? In 5 years, there'll be somebody else that we'll want to put in there. Maybe Travis Kelce or I don't know, it could be anybody. No, Gronkowski retired. And so besides the debate for best tight end of all time, it brings up the question, because even his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, said, yeah, he's retired for now. For now? What does that mean? Is that like if I want a 3-day weekend or a 4-day weekend that on Thursday afternoon I could go up to my boss and say, "Hey, I quit, but I'll be here Tuesday." What does that mean? For now, I mean, does that mean at some point he wants to come back or he's leaving the door to come back if the Patriots are just that one little extra chip away from really being dominant in November, all of a sudden Rob Gronkowski signs and comes back? I mean, it's just like Roger Clemens and the Yankees, maybe? Like, oh, yeah, just only play half the season. That's fine. But what does that mean? And that's fine if he wants to do that. I don't have any problem. It's not like, oh, you're retired, you need to stay retired. No, it's his life. Do what you want to do. A lot of people think he wants to get into wrestling. I think if you can't stay healthy on a football field, wrestling's going to be worse. I mean, I think that's part of what Ronda Rousey's dealing with right now is she realizes that it's a different animal. I'm not saying she can't handle it. I'm not saying he couldn't handle it because Mojo Rawley, who's in the WWE, who's going through I don't know what they're doing with this character, but that's beyond this show. Gronk could wrestle. The problem is how do you market him? Can he be Rob Gronkowski? It's not real marketable. It's hard to put that on a t-shirt. Gronk, you could do a lot of Gronk stuff. That could be okay, but just to be known as Gronk, they kind of already have some gimmicky goofball characters. I like them, but I mean, I don't think wrestling is where he'd go. Could he be a TV host like, you know, Tim Tebow just did what the longest mile? I'm not sure what that show was. I didn't watch it. Didn't wasn't able to catch it. But what is Gronk going to do? That's the real question to me. What a lot of people find out when they retire from their professions, the things they've done their entire life. I don't care how long they've done it. When they retire, they tend to sit around the house for a couple of days, and then you're like, I got to find something to do. You end up getting a part-time job. You end up getting small. Maybe it's a passion you get into. Maybe you make knives or you build birdhouses or, I don't know, write your congressman every day. Maybe you want to watch every episode of MASH. I don't know. Just most of the time, though, you can't just retire and just stop doing everything or stop doing what you did before. And I feel like Gronk is going to be in that mode because some people suggested maybe he should replace Jason Witten in the Monday Night Football booth. I don't think so. I think they should either just go with a two-man group or you got to really figure out who's going to go in that booth. It'd be another year before you can get Romo. Plus, Romo wants a lot of money because he realizes what he's worth. But no, that's the big question that comes up to me. Is it's not that is Gronk going to come back or is Gronk the greatest ever? Because those are all debatable until they happen. You know, is Gronk a Hall of Famer? Probably. He had a pretty good nine year run, handful of rings, some of the bigger catches. I mean, he's had a he's had a real fantastic run to this point. I guess we'll just have to see. We'll just have to wait and see what he's going to actually get into. And whatever it is, I'm sure I'll be buying it, and you'll be buying it, and we'll be watching it. And do I think he'll come back? I mean, that possibility's out there, but I don't think so. I think he's done. I think his body is not responding the way he wants it to. And if I was him, I would take a year off from physicality and heal up. And then if you want to wrestle, or then if you want to do something physical or something like that, then you can. But if I could stay away from it, I'd try to heal up as much as possible. He's already had major back surgery, major, forearm surgery, among other things. Yeah, in no way would I even try to get anything. But good luck to you, Gronk. If you ever want to come on this show, you are absolutely welcome to. Would absolutely just be fantastic to have you on. Other things. What do we want to get into here? Giants owner, Mr. Mara, was the only no vote for the onside alternative. Basically, the AAF being the guinea pig that we all think it is being the guinea pig we all think it is, where Mr. Mara of the Giants, he's the only one who doesn't like the fourth. You get the ball fourth and 15 on your own 35 instead of an onside kick. Good luck with that. That means everybody else is either for it or just didn't vote. The AAF is a guinea pig. They're seeing if these rule changes work. They're seeing if these certain concepts work. A lot of them do. A lot of them absolutely do. So the kickoff, I think, is on its way out. Probably in the next couple of years, but it's still on its way out. Let's see, what else can we get into? Some baseball, I'll do that in a second. There was a theory I heard the other day, and I, for one, really like it, but you'll hear why. All the involved parties, I'm pretty much either a big fan of or I'm okay with. Somebody said, what if this is Drew Brees' last year? Okay, I'm a big fan of Drew Brees. Could this be his last year? Potential. We did see a little bit of a drop-off last year. Brings up, if it is last year, who do they have lined up behind it? That'd be one Theodore Bridgewater, Teddy Bridgewater. Because he just re-signed, I believe, for another year. So if this is Brees' last year, what if Teddy Bridgewater steps in late this year if they're out of contention, or early next year? I mean, it's hard to take Drew Brees out. So let's say once Brees is gone, Bridgewater's there. He knows the system now after a couple years. He steps in. And then because they go another mediocre 8-8, 7-9, my guess is 7-9, honestly, the Dallas Cowboys bring in Sean Payton, which they should have done a while back, and get rid of Jason Garrett. First of all, I'm all for that. I really very much like that the Cowboys would be getting Sean Payton. Once again, I don't have anything against Jason Garrett. If he's the coach, hey, coach, I'm behind you. If you're not the coach, hey, good luck to you in your future endeavors, you know? But so Brees plays another year. Bridgewater steps in next year. Sean Payton leaves for Dallas. There's actually a little bit of substance to that. There's no signs to say one way or the other. Like I said, we did see a slight decline in Brees. We saw Bridgewater re-sign after talking to the Dolphins, and the Dolphins didn't want to listen to his contract demands, basically, so he didn't. He didn't sign there. And we always hear, is this the last year for Sean Payton in New Orleans? We hear it a million times. I think if they go 8-8, 7-7, you could definitely see that. I don't think they will. I think they'll win more than that. And we always hear the not only is Sean Payton, is this Payton's last year in as the coach of New Orleans, we also always hear, well, if he's not going to coach New Orleans, is Jerry finally going to bring him in? Because he was part of the Parcells coaching staff years ago. And they tried to get him, and it just didn't work out. But that's just a theory I heard. Wanted to float it past you guys. Whatever you guys think, if you'll just hit us up at all the social medias about what you think about that particular theory. And, you know, and, I mean, it's not a far-fetched one. It's got a lot of things to it. NBA real quick. I just wanted to say, I don't know if you guys have gotten a chance to see the Hawks play lately. I totally understand if you have not. But Trae Young, the top draft pick from last year. Yeah. He is really emerging into a superstar or into a star in this league. He's helping the Hawks win games. He's putting up super points. He's probably in second all alone for the rookie of the year just because Luka Doncic is doing so good. Doncic, how do you say his name? Honestly, he's in the conversation. But if you haven't got a chance to watch Trae Young, definitely watch Trae Young. Trae Young definitely lighted it up. This Hawks team is actually a fun watch. I know I'm going to try to have Steve Holman on. Maybe here soon to talk about the way this season's went. Voice of the Hawks, just incredible, incredible guy. But definitely watch for Trae Young, if nothing else, because he's a good kid. He's doing a lot of really good things. And I don't think we're going to run him off like we did the other ones. And we ran off the ones who didn't want to be here. I think Trae Young wants to be here, and he's gonna help bring other people here because people are going to want to play with that kid. Let's see. A couple baseball notes. A couple in particular. Why is, at least at this point, and I'll look it up after we're talking, why is Craig Kimbrell not signed? Or did he actually sign? Yeah, I mean, at this point, he's still a free agent. You mean the Braves don't need him? I mean, they didn't need him today. They got, I don't know, thrashed. Is that a good word? They got just ran over. And Braves lost their opener. Or the opening game. It was in Philadelphia. 10-4. And that's when they're opener. I mean, they always win early. Why is Craig Kimbrell not on a roster? You can't tell me that people don't need him. How do you not need a dominant closer or even an eighth inning guy? I don't get as good as he is. I mean, there's either something wrong with him or, which I don't think there's something wrong with him, or just, I don't know, free agency this year was so weird. It's like everybody tried to really drive the price up, but they really, in the long run, didn't. So, I mean, Craig Kimbrell will probably sign with somebody. I just don't know who. Verlander and the Astros do a 2-year extension for $66 million. Verlander kind of knows he's getting towards that part of his career. He likes being an Astro, so he wants to be there. He's kind of that Tom Brady thing where, I mean, technically, between him and his wife, they got enough money. It's not really about the money. 2 years, $66 million is not bad at all. And it keeps him in Houston for a couple more years, where I think he actually enjoys being. The DeGrom contract seems like it's similar here. It's going to tie him up for the next 6 years, I believe. He's 30 or 31 years old. Well, okay. Oh, I don't have a problem with that, because he was the Cy Young winner last year. He's earned it there. His teammate Thor, we all know who Thor is. He was, first of all, miffed about the way those contract things particularly went for a minute. And now he seems to be a little perturbed about, before opening day, before today, the Mets Major League squad had to go to Syracuse, which is their new AAA affiliate, where Tim Tebow was actually going to be if he wasn't already, to sign autographs and really show their presence this close to opening day. He was perturbed, but I mean, I don't, if you were the opening day starter, I would get that you want to stay in your routine. I would get that it's going to throw you out of rhythm or something like that, but no, you're not. So Noah Syndergaard, this comes from a Mets fan. Get over it. Go out there, do your thing, be done with it. DeGrom was the one who had the argument, and you only have a case here, in my opinion. And DeGrom didn't say anything. But that's a lot of the baseball, like I said. I did want to see. It's amazing that you had Bryce Harper to the Phillies, and they made a couple other moves here and there. I think they got McCutcheon, do they not? It turns out they're not bad. Harper in his Phillies debut, 0-for-3 with a walk. I know one thing. I happened to go past the radio. People were listening to the Braves game. Earlier in the day, and right about the sixth inning, when that 3-run home run went, it was something else. But if I remember, Tehran was the opening day starter for the, 50th time for the Braves, and they couldn't do much with it. And then Nola ends up being the pitcher of record, I believe. And next game for the Braves, I know a lot of people, hey, I'm going to try to go to some Braves games this year. It's a fun time to go. It's a fun thing to do and everything. This is going to be another fun team, another fun year. I believe their next game is in like 2 days from now. I know we only have like 80 schedules around here. Can we find one? There we go. Let's see. Yeah, they play Philadelphia today at 3:05. On Saturday, they will play Philadelphia at 4:05. It is a Fox Sports Southeast FS1 game. And then, actually, they'll be on ESPN Sunday night. So, that should be a lot of fun. Got the Cubs coming up at home. That's going to be the home opener on Monday. A lot of fun things happening. A lot of fun people going to be in town. Seems like they only play the Mets during the week. It's fine. We will easily get over that. But, yeah, Braves season's here. Baseball season's here. For everybody who's not AAF fans or people who are just looking for something else. Maybe not basketball, not hockey. Well, here you go. Baseball's back. Baseball's absolutely back. Now let's shift gears to our hockey talk. Got a few things here and there. Obviously, Atlanta is continuing their playoff push. They had the big wins over Greenville, over Kansas City. Am I saying that right? I think so. They had the big wins. They have been doing, I believe, playing tonight, are they not? Yeah, they're playing. No, they're actually not. They played last night for the French Bulldog race. Seems to they end up signing forward Brady Florent and the defenseman Tyler Andrews. Like I said, they've had the big wins. They're right there. I believe they're tied with South Carolina for that other spot. They did re-sign defenseman Sean Campbell. I mean, they're padding up the roster. But they did have this event last night. Besides the French Bulldog thing, it was they had the press conference about the Georgia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, where Atlanta United stars Eric Rometty and LGP Leandro Gonzalez Perez, some of my favorites, were there last night. Villalba and others were in attendance. Those VIP autograph session. It was kind of a cool promo night. You know, the Gladiators are starting to cross promote with a lot of things, which is really good. But this was really cool that they're really reaching out to the Spanish heritage and Hispanic heritage and stuff like that, because it's a market that you don't always think of when you think of hockey. And yet the presence within the sport is very big. So it's good to finally embrace that and really just embrace what's going on. I'm running out of words here. Of course, upcoming schedule for our Gladiators. They play tomorrow night in Jacksonville. That's 7:30 puck drop, 7 p.m. puck drop. On Saturday in Jacksonville, they finish up the weekend in South Carolina for the 3:05 puck drop there. And then that would only leave the last three games of the year, which we will talk about next week. Moving into the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes are actually the 5 seed right now in the playoffs. They actually were able to grab 8 out of 10 potential points on the homestand. They had the wins 4-2 over Buffalo, 3-2 over Pittsburgh. Obviously lost 6-3 to Tampa. Hey, if you're going to lose to a team, might as well be the top team, right? They won 5-1 over Minnesota, 2-1 over Montreal. And I believe their upcoming schedule, I mean, you got Atlanta trying to break into the playoffs and so close. You got the Hurricanes locking up a spot, maybe more. I mean, there's potential they could get up there. But I tell you, I say it each and every week, but probably in this order on the East. If I'm one of the other teams, I do not want to see the Lightning, and I don't want to see the Hurricanes. Beyond that, people are afraid of the matchups they are. That the Hurricanes give people. They got so much young waves of talent. It reminds me a lot of the Vegas Golden Knights team in their first year that went all the way to the Cup Finals. There's just wave after wave after wave that every time you turn around, there's a different wave of young talent just coming right at you, just smashing into you, just controlling everything on the boards, in the neutral zones, just finding opportunity after opportunity. And we know about the goaltending. The goaltending has been unbelievable. Just unbelievable. People say, well, what are they going to do next season? I don't know. We're not to next season. Why don't we enjoy this season? We don't know how long it's going to last. But let's see. Carolina does have Pride Night coming up. That is also Hockey is for Everyone. just include everybody. There's no reason to exclude people, do those kinds of things. I always love the Pride Nights and the Hockey Is for Everyone, not just because there's new cool rainbow swag and things like that you can get, but no, it once again, we're letting everybody know it really is for everybody. You should be able to enjoy it. Like I say, you can go to SunTrust Park and not like baseball and you're going to have a good time. If you go to the Infinite Energy Center and you're not a big hockey fan, you probably will be before you leave. It's just these environments that they're able to get. Let's see, 8 out of 10, I told you guys about that. Seems like the Rangers' dreadful season is not going to end, or is going to basically end, and they won't be in the postseason. They just blew a lot of leads. They had a lot of overtime issues. The Rangers are in just a weird spot because a couple years ago it looked like they were selling the farm to start over, and then they kind of did the polar opposite right after that and brought in a bunch of people, and then they're in this just odd place. I want to leave on a high note with the hockey talk here, and Zdeno Chara signed a 1-year, $2 million basically extension, but contract with the Bruins. Charizard's going to play one more season. I, for one, am excited by that. It's just like when Nicholas Lindstrom hung it up, one of the greatest defensemen that I had witnessed in my lifetime, no longer playing. It's going to be a shame when Chara doesn't play. He's kind of the last of a dying breed of that old-school, real physicality type guy. Really tries to dominate you. It helps that he's like, 10 foot tall. But Chara plays a game unlike anybody else. And sure, he doesn't have the speed anymore. But I'm glad to see Chara back, even though he's going to be playing for Boston. I'm glad to see that back. So, more power to him. Good luck to the Hurricanes. Good luck to the Gladiators. Now let's move to the AAF. Now with AAF, I'm going to go through these games, and then I'll go through the biggest news because I've had a chance to read up on it, to do some digging of my own, and kind of research and see what's actually going on. So here's what's going on. Or here's the games. Yeah, the San Diego Fleet and the Arizona Hotshots. The Hotshots take that one 32-15. It was so close early. It was very back and forth. And then it became an interception fest there for a while. They traded them back and forth. Hotshots started to pull away, and just the Fleet could not find a way to stay in it. Every time they would try, just like with their plans would get foiled. So it ended up just not working out for them. But Hotshots picked that one up. Yeah, the Salt Lake Stallions in San Antonio to face the Commanders. Commanders were able to hold on late and keep the win here, 19-15. Just the whole first half was a fun group of pendulum swings. Just the entire first half, it was swinging all the way up. Just think of a swinging ship at an amusement park. Just it would go all the way up there, and you're like, wow. Man, that's really high. And then it would swing all the way down and go the other direction. Wow, that's really high over there. Just kept going higher and higher and higher until it finally couldn't. The last 5-plus minutes of the game, those pendulum swings were right back. There was a pick two with less than 2 minutes to go that pretty much iced the game for San Antonio. And you say, pick two, how does that happen? Well, remember, you have to go for two. You cannot kick the field. You cannot kick the extra point because that doesn't exist in the AAF. And so as they were going for two, the Commanders were able to intercept the ball and run it all the way back. They gave him an extra 2 points. So instead of winning 17-15, they won 19-15. The Commanders' defense really picked up the slack where the offense was kind of like they were trying to run through quicksand almost, maybe. really getting out of the blocks in this game. It was Stallions really played some good defense. And this is actually win 4 in a row, I believe, for the Commanders. They are now alone in the top of the West at 5-2. It's a good record. And the West is all separated by a couple games because they're 5-2. I believe it's 5-2, 4-3, 3-2, 2-5. That's the records over there. 2-5 is obviously Memphis, I believe. Because Birmingham and Memphis played, it was another really good game. You had Memphis really hanging with the iron for a while, and then they just kind of stalled out. Brandon Silvers played a majority of the game, but they brought in Johnny Manziel for a few extra plays here and there. Johnny's first three plays, he decided to take off running. But once he threw some passes, he did okay. But, guys, Brandon Silvers is a really good quarterback. I saw him play for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, however long he was at App State. Duke can throw. Duke can play. And he was able to showcase a lot of his skills there. He still is the starter. Even Manziel has said that. That it's like, no, it's not my show yet. Birmingham just kept having these miscues, and that allowed Memphis to stay in and around the game. And the Memphis special teams were making enough plays, including the blocked punt in the third, to just keep it close. And Memphis tied it with 20 seconds left. Silvers won it with a pass touchdown on second and goal in overtime. Because here's how their overtime things work. They did the coin toss and everything. Birmingham won. They got the ball first. They were not able to score on their drive, so Memphis got the ball. They scored. Game over. But let's see. I told you about those three games there. Then the last game. Of course, played out exactly how I thought it would, but the Orlando Apollos came to the Big A to take on the Legends. I said the way the Legends would be able to hang in this game is by establishing the run. Well, early they got the run game going. They were able to hang in, keep it kind of close. And then Orlando just kept steadily putting more and more pressure and ended up using that to win big. They win 36-6, number one team versus one of the teams still figuring some stuff out. They're not a bad team. They just had some stuff. The Atlanta defense did evolve as the game goes on. The problem is they gave up a bunch of points early. It was really hard for the offense to come back. Especially when Aaron Murray threw another two or three interceptions. At one point, Chris Sims came back in. Probably MVP of the game. And I'm not just saying this because of what I'm going to say afterwards. MVP of the game, it's got to be Devion Smith, the primary back for the Apollos. He had three touchdowns and a couple two-point conversions. He also went to the University of Michigan. He also talked with myself and John Watts from here after the game, and actually signed a Michigan hat for me. I was very appreciative of that. Michigan fans, he did say, hey, I always got to stop for blue. I was wearing I was decked out in Michigan gear. But it was good to talk to him. Devion is a really cool guy. I was very, very happy he took the time to come talk with us for a second. And he's just fantastic. So if we pull up the standings, they're somewhere. Standings in, let's go to the West. You got the San Antonio Commanders at 5-2. You got the Arizona Hotshots at 4-3. You got the San Diego Fleet at 3-4, and the Salt Lake Stallions at 2-5. On the other side, the East, you have the Orlando Apollos at 6-1. You have the Birmingham Iron at 4-3, Atlanta Legends at 2-5, and the Memphis Express are also at 2-5. So, got to really get behind everything, or the Legends will, you know, have a non-playoff year. A lot of people say, well, it's their first year, and, you know, there's always next year, and you try to figure out things. You might have a different roster or some different things here and there, or another year in your system. Sure. But according to Tom Dundon in a report we heard in the last few days, Tom Dundon being not only the guy who bailed out the AAF, what, a handful of weeks ago, and became chairman because of it. I mean, if that's how it works, then Johnny Manziel can use some of his family money and, I don't know, become a starting quarterback probably. But Tom Dundon kind of let it be known that if the NFL and AAF don't come to some agreements on some things, about it basically being a supplemental feeder league, basically, that he's going to just pull the funding that he promised out and the legal fold. And this could be after this week. A lot of people panicking. It's like, I wouldn't say panicking, but yeah, this is a real thing. And this is not like an empty threat. No, Tom Dundon knows what he's after. And some of these agreements are in allowing certain NFL players to play in the AAF. You know, if you sign a futures contract, you're not allowed to currently. So a lot of people are not signing those to play here, but a lot of the people, some people in the AAF are going to be to a point where they can play in both leagues. And that's what they're trying to come to agreement on, is not only how to structure it to where it's all done to benefit all the parties involved, but the pay is the other thing. Because, hey, another personal, if you're a full-out guy on the 50-man, 53-man roster, you get paid a good bit more than people on the practice squad who still make pretty good money. But the AAF more than likely pays you less than a practice squad. The only difference is you're actually getting reps, where a practice squad, you may or may not, based off what's going on. So it seems like that's the agreement that everybody's talking about. And it is something they should have hashed out before now, but he's pushing the issue here because it should have happened a while back. So do I think the AAF will have a second year? I actually think they will. And here's why, because even though I believe Tom Dundon and his threats, I don't think he wants to consider this a loss and chalk it up and get out at this point. He has invested some money to this point. He's a very smart businessman. He could very much be a Shark Tank guy. And, I mean, look what he's doing with the Hurricanes. He knows what he's doing. He may be trying to find other investors so that he doesn't sit on the board. He probably doesn't mind sitting on the board, but he's trying to run the Hurricanes. So will they have a year or two? I think the AAF will have a year or two. I think this is going to get settled. This is going to get done. We're going to see what things are going on. And I'm a little worried. Can't lie. And not just because I have tickets for next week, but I don't know that it'll necessarily end this week. I think Dundon will eventually either get the issue taken care of, or it's to a point where maybe if you can't force the issue, but I think he'll stick around long enough to let the first year play out. After the first year, I don't know. But the XFL is standing back looking at this going, okay, we got to make sure to button up these other things here before we start. So sometimes it pays to be the first out of the gate. Sometimes it doesn't. In this case, we'll just have to see. But it's been fantastic going to two AAF games. We were able to go last weekend. We had a great time. Went early, tailgated with a lot of you guys. We met with a lot of the other fun things they had going on there. Just able overall to do some really fun, good things. If you guys aren't going out of the AAF, hey, you're missing out. Obviously, Atlanta United is got some stuff coming up. They were, I think, they're off this week, if I remember. Actually, you're going to play on, I think they play Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Union. That sounds right. On Saturday, what time is that? 1:30? 1:30 there. That should be fun. I will be DVRing that. I'm actually going to be finishing up my taxes right around then. But, yeah, should be a lot of fun. Atlanta United sparking back up right here. The AAF is cruising into hopefully the end of their season. Hopefully, if there is a league still by next week, myself and John will be back at the game. Definitely was fun meeting a lot of you guys. You guys we'll easily come find you guys next time or come find us. But a lot of fun times. I mean, you can get in for like 10, 15, 20 bucks. I mean, come hang out. The way it is, you pretty much sit anywhere you want because great seats are still available. And, of course, you can see any of the reps that we've talked to, or I think Jeff Hager, H-A-G-E-R, you want to catch him. You can find his stuff at AtlantaLegends.com. But, yeah, he's the him and Kelsey were the ones that helped set us up with some really cool things. And it's been fun being a fan, I'll be honest. It's, even though we're covering the game, it's very much a lot of fun to sit in the stands at Georgia State Stadium. It's a fantastic stadium. I'm starting to get a decent tan line because of it. But, yeah, just overall, some really, really fantastic stuff. But the cue of the music there means I've said everything I could say. That's all we have for now. This has been Sports Club Board Check, Back to the Future. Unless it's Charizard. I'm Jeremy the Impact York, for Cody, for Coach, for Reggie, for John, for Joseph, for all of you guys. See you next week. Go watch hockey.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?